Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be in the studio with my sister, Tara Rye, and some
friends.
Some friends. We have friends in the studio. We actually have friends.
We have friends. We do, Sabrina. We have friends.
Sandy and Shelley. And it's just been a blessing the last season and the Christmas season, New Year's, all that kind of stuff. And now we're back.
It's a new year. We're in mid-January. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
Every time I look at 2012, I'm kind of like, how'd that happen?
I know.
I remember thinking in before the millennium, we'll never see 2011. And now it's gone.
Like that. It was the fastest Christmas I've ever experienced in my life. I told my kids, I'm like, were there lights up on the houses this Christmas? I'm like, because we had such great weather and it was a blessing.
It was summer.
Thank you, Jesus. But he's bringing us back to reality with cold. So we have been in Terrorized Study, wishing forward 7 ways Jesus prayed. And today we're going to be in Luke chapter 9.
We are. And we're going to look at the transfiguration.
That's a big word.
It is a very big word. It is a big, big word. Transfiguration.
I was wondering what that meant.
You know, it comes from the Greek word metamorphosis. It's the same word that we would use to describe a butterfly. And the transformation that happens within a butterfly is it changes its form from the caterpillar to the cocoon and then out into a beautiful, majestic, glorious butterfly.
Wow, that's really
cool.
And
so today and the next 4 weeks, as we go over the transfiguration, we'll be examining what that means to be transformed. And I love the fact that God, in his word, provides us an example and shows us literally through this particular passage that we're going to look at when it happened in Jesus.
I love that.
Yeah. So if you open your Bibles to Luke 9, it's a very short passage that we'll look at today. And I'll story first for us for Luke 9, 28 through 36. And then what we'll do is we'll look at how this impacts us as we are wishing forward to the same things that we see happening in Christ's life and the disciples' life and those that are involved in this particular story. What we need to know, just a little bit of background, if you remember last month, we were talking about the time that Jesus turned and he looked at the disciples and he says, "Who do the crowd say that I am?"
Yes.
And then he made it, that was a very general question, but then he took it and made it more narrow, and he asked, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter very clearly said, "You are the Christ of God," and was very evident what he was pointing out. Now, this is following that, and Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they went up the mountain. It was about 8 days after, and as he went up to the mountain to pray, Jesus began to pray, and while he was praying, and the appearance of his face began to change. His clothes were as white as flashes of lightning, and suddenly two men were standing beside him in glorious splendor, and they began to talk to him about his departure of when he would leave Jerusalem. Now, Peter and James and John, they were really exhausted. They were tired, and they were about to fall asleep, and as the men were standing talking with Jesus, all of a sudden, they were no longer sleepy. And these men were about to leave, and Peter shouted out, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us build 3 tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you." But just as Peter was saying this, he did not know what he was saying, and a cloud appeared above them. It completely enveloped them, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I've chosen. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they immediately fell face down to the ground and didn't look up. Jesus walked over to them. He reached out. He touched them. And he says, "Get up. Do not be afraid." And when they opened their eyes and they looked up at him, he was all alone. That's today's passage. And I love this particular passage because of what it shows happens in this time frame. First off, let me just ask, who are the people that you hear that are involved? Who's involved in this particular passage?
Peter, John, James.
Okay.
Even they mention Moses and Elijah.
Yeah, they do. Now, what do we know about James and John? Peter, James, and John. What do you know?
That they're disciples. James is Jesus' half-brother.
Actually, not yet. This is a different James. Okay. I'm going to help you. That's why I asked. That's good. That's good because you know that there was. This is James and John, the sons of Zebedee.
Okay. They're okay. Disciples.
Yeah. They're all apostles. And so the sons of Zebedee were known to be the sons of thunder. They were known for their temperament. They were also the same men that Peter was a fisherman with when Jesus came and said, come follow me.
Oh, make yourself fishers of men.
And they all walked away from their business to go and become spiritual followers of Christ, to be disciples of Christ. All three of them are apostles. Okay?
So they've actually walked with Jesus.
Exactly, exactly. Now, the cool part about the fact that Peter, James, and John are there, they're eyewitnesses, and he has chosen three. Now, see, the law stated that in order for a fact to be true, there had to be three witnesses.
Really?
Yeah. And so these guys were chosen by Christ to be a witness to something that was very important. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is that is the revelation that he's wanting them to see?
There's the Trinity?
Well.
Oh, wait. Repeat that question.
What do you think that he's wanting them to see? I mean, physically, what do they see as they are standing there?
Well, they're seeing Jesus transformed.
Yeah. His glory.
Yeah, they're seeing
his actual glory.
Dazzling white glory, yeah.
His glory. Okay. Envision with me, he's chosen them, and they're tired. It's been a long day. They've stood on the mountain. He's tested them with hard questions. Who do you say that I am? Who do the crowd say that I am? Who am I? Is the thing that is going over in their minds. Most likely, that's what they were thinking about, is the day's discussion on who he is. They go up the mountain, and then the exhaustion begins to take over them. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us if they were completely asleep, and they're up there talking, and then they wake up, and when they become fully aware, because this major glory is occurring, Scripture doesn't let us know, or if they were in the process of just about to go to sleep, and then it happens. We don't know which way it is. We just know that they're exhausted. They could have been completely asleep and then fully woke up, or it was they were in the process and waking up. And as they look up, they see this glory, amazing glory. Now, Peter had just proclaimed, you are Christ of God. Jesus asked, who am I? And he affirmed it. Now, it is completely and totally affirmed through Father in heaven. They were allowed to hear a second time the voice of heaven speak. The first time they heard the voice of heaven speak was at Jesus' baptism. Mm-hmm. And at Jesus' baptism, the Lord speaks out and he said, let me go back to it. I want to say it exactly because my head's not with it right now. And as he was praying, you are my son whom I love and I am well pleased. And so here they've heard, he's my son, I love him, I'm well pleased. Now they're, here is my son, I chose him. Listen. This is huge, okay, because it's God giving his affirmation.
I love that.
I do too. And so as I was praying through, all right, we're looking at the seven moments that Jesus prayed. This passage does something that none of the other passages do. All the other passages just say Jesus prayed. This one shows twice that Jesus is praying. It says, the first part, it says he took them up the mountain to pray, because we know that that's what he's moving towards. And then as he is praying, we have this amazing thing happen. So the prayer is a key component as to what is occurring. What does that tell us about prayer?
Prayer changes things.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. How does prayer change things?
Well, when there's more prayer, there's more power.
When there's more prayer, there's more power.
It's just, I mean, you just see it in the testimony of your own life. Mm. And I think once you've walked in it, you've seen it, you can't help but to tell other people. But until you've experienced it for yourself, it's easy to tell somebody, I'm praying for you, and then forget to pray. Mm. Mm-hmm. But like people that you know will pray, like I know people that are praying, like I can call Tara and I'm like, I know she's going to pray. It's not going to just be like, oh, I'm sorry, you're having a bad day. You know, right. I'll pray for you.
Right.
You know, when you understand that there's strength and there's movement in prayer, you don't hesitate. Mm. And they understand that.
Okay, now.
Even though they need affirmation still.
What I love that you said is that there's strength in movement. Okay, based on just this passage, how do we know that strength is happening and movement is happening? What does Scripture show us? How does that revealed right here, just with what you said? Because it shows it.
As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed.
Like, seriously?
As he was praying.
Is that crazy?
No, it's amazing.
We are allowed to see the transformation that occurs on a person as prayer takes place. And how much more so if it's a prayer that is praying the Word of God, praying the truths of God, and praying into the circumstances. And so whenever I feel weak, and it's funny because just this morning I was writing an article for the Kansas Digest, and praying and asking God, I have like 5 or 6 different articles I'd like to write, and which one should I do? And the one that was most prevalent on my heart, which was really funny because it had nothing to do with what we were doing, had to do with, in the last month or so, I've had some of the hardest things come at me through people that I love, where a friend standing look at me and say, I have an inoperable brain tumor. There's nothing they can do. Another friend turn and look at me and say, my husband's having an affair. What do I do? Another person contact me and tell me my grandson is going after a cult in India and going to join. How do I respond? I mean, just request after request where I feel so inadequate, so ill-equipped, so not capable. And so what I wrote about is how God's sufficiency is big enough. And that if in those circumstances, if I don't focus in on the things that I think people want to hear, and I focus in on praying that which I know about God and what's in the Word of God, it's amazing how that sufficiency of God becomes evident. And it never ceases to blow my mind how peace falls into the circumstance as that kind of praying happens. But when my prayers are focused temporally, I don't see that same peace. I don't see that transformation. We may walk away going, okay, thank you. But you don't feel the presence of peace happening. And on Sunday, I had somebody just grab me and broken and just not even praying it out loud. I was doing it in my heart. And as the brokenness was coming out of the person, and the praying was going on inside me, I felt the and then the peace as it just settled on the person, and that person didn't even know what I was praying. It was the Spirit of God doing what the Spirit of God does when we seek Him so that His sufficiency is made known. That's what we're seeing here. Jesus allowed them the privilege to be the three, to come and sit on a mountainside and watch as he prayed. I'm like, wow, that's awesome.
And just to go back to what you're saying, I think a lot of people don't understand the power of prayer because they don't understand who God is and his sovereignty. I was with a girl on Monday night, and she said, how do you know the names of God? How do you know El Shaddai and Jehovah Jireh? And I said, we have to study them. They're all over the Scripture. But if you don't know that your God is omnipresent and he is Emmanuel, God with us, and he is, you know, Jehovah Rapha, the healer, and the banner Nisi, you know, if you don't know those, you don't even know, oh, he's too busy with everybody else's problems. He doesn't need to hear mine. And I think once you really understand who God is, and that can be a challenge for those people who don't know the names of God, to just ask, you know, find a study and get into one. There's great ones by K. Arthur, I think.
Sure, is that on the one names that? Of God.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's also places if you're, some people are not, they don't enjoy reading, and they may prefer to listen. You can go to BibleIs.com, and it will play the Bible for you for free. You don't have to do anything, and it'll play it audibly. And it's a beautiful telling. It's not, you know, it's not a boring
robotic.
It's just a very good telling of Scripture, and so you can feel the animation and the voices, and and when, like, if I listen to this passage, because what I like to do, I use Bible Is before I'm to tell a passage. I might listen to it 20-something times if I'm going to a speaking engagement, and I know I will listen over and over and over just to allow it to become a part of me. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are other ones.
Resources.
Yes, that you can go and look it up. You could do Audible Bible. And which
my
is
husband travels a lot, and that's how he's gone through the Bible several times. And it's just amazing how when he's actually gone from Genesis to, you know, from, I mean, just through the entire Bible, how he said it just made sense finally.
That's awesome. Mm. You know, it makes a big difference when we have heard the counsel of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And the reason why it makes a difference is because, you know, when Scripture refers to the full armor of God, mm-hmm. The belt of truth would represent truth, all truth, Genesis to Revelation. That's the whole counsel of the Word of God. But then all of a sudden we get in a circumstance, my friend with the inoperable brain tumor. I all of a sudden find myself needing one Scripture that can bring comfort. Well, then all of a sudden, boom, I remember, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 11. God is the God of all comfort, the God of all compassion. Then I can pull the sword of the Spirit out and help cut into the circumstances with a final truth that's related, that I could apply a name of God, a character of God, mm-hmm. and the Word of God into the circumstance. It makes a huge mm-hmm. difference in helping us. And so the key is to be where we can hear the Word of God, to right. allowing it to constantly be a part of it, whether it is through our reading it mm-hmm. or through our hearing it through listening to it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And with iPhones and Androids and the computer, the internet, I mean, we are without excuse nowadays. Mm-hmm. We really are.
There's well, and that saying, I think I said it the last time, and then we'll be closing here shortly, but where there's more prayer, there's more power. Where there's mm-hmm. no prayer, there's no power. When we work, but when we pray, God works.
Mm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. Who doesn't want the all-sufficient God working on your behalf?
That's awesome. And think of Peter, James, and John, and as they watch the transformation that had taken place and seeing his face, mm-hmm. his appearance of his face, they were allowed a glimpse of his glory, the glory of his face. And not just a glimpse of the glory, but it's the fulfillment of who he was in heaven revealed right there in front of them. And so much so was his glory so powerful that literally his clothes changed to white like mm-hmm. lightning. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a transformation. It shows that how prayer moves from the inside and pours to the outside. And so when we take time to withdraw and pray, it makes a change happen that is a metamorphosis, a transfiguration, and it happens in us, and we get to observe that in other people. And the crazy thing is other people will observe it in us. Mm-hmm. They know when we've had that time with God. They can see it, they can feel it, and even though we can't say, oh, my face is glowing, there's something there that they can tell you've been and spent time with God. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. Come back and listen next week. God bless.